Welcome to another episode of Mini Fellowship in Movement Disorders, where we take most challenging concepts in movement disorders and simplify them into easy-to-follow explanations. I'm your host, Danish Bahati, a movement disorder neurologist who loves to teach physicians online, especially in the developing countries.
These are really good questions, Akib. So let me repeat the questions here for those who only listen to the audio and have not read your questions. The first question you're asking about is the direct and indirect pathways in the basal ganglia. And the question you are asking is that once the information is sent back to the cerebral cortex to make the adjustment, is the information then transmitted back down to the lower motor neurons directly through internal capsule silently? Or is it still linked to basal ganglia? How does that correlate? And the second question you're asking, which I think links with the answer I want to give, is about deep brain stimulation for Parkinson's disease and dystonia. And the question is that in Parkinson's disease, the activity of the GPI, globus pallidus interna, and subthalamic nucleus are reduced, and hence the increased inhibition of ventral thalamus, but it's opposite in dystonia. And if there's Parkinson's and dystonia are opposite in their mechanisms in the basal ganglia, then how can we do deep brain stimulation of the globus pallidus interna, same target, and get treatment for both of these diseases which have somewhat opposite pathophysiology? So these are really, really good points that you raise, and makes me happy that you're thinking and critiquing what you're reading and analyzing, and that's the important point. Now, the first question is relatively easy to answer, but then I need to go into a more complex concept to answer the second one and also the first one again. So the first question is in terms of how this loop works. So the way these loops work is that there is information being coming from cerebral cortex to basal ganglia, either directly just for basal ganglia or as side information from the tracks that are going down to lower motor neurons. So the information is going to lower motor neurons at the same time it's going to the basal ganglia, because the information is going to lower motor neurons constantly, right? If you think about it, when your movement is occurring, let's say you move your arm from point A to point B and it takes about 5 seconds. Or if you think about it, it's 5,000 milliseconds. So every millisecond, the information is coming down from the brain. It's not that they're at the start of the movement, brain sent an information down and that was it. And then it's just waited for 5 seconds. The information was constantly coming down throughout those 5 seconds or 5,000 milliseconds while the movement was happening. So as the information is sent down in the first millisecond for the movement to start, the information is also sent as a copy of what is going on to basal ganglia. And what basal ganglia does is that it adjusts the plan by giving that feedback to the cerebral cortex as the plan is being executed. So it's an ongoing execution. So it's like building a house has started and the plans were blueprint were sent to the basal ganglia, and the basal ganglia made some comments and remarks on the blueprints to get sent back to the cerebral cortex while the laborers were digging the foundations of the house. And as the walls are being put in, the basal ganglia keeps reviewing the plan, plus basal ganglia is getting input from the laborers too. So basal ganglia, if in one sense, has the view of the house as it's being built, recognizes what's going wrong, and sends the information back constantly. So it's a constant, continuous improvement on the plan. What is that improvement is the next question. And that's where I want to diverge away from direct and indirect pathway. The older concept of direct and indirect pathway, which came from Dr. Mehlondi Long's work on the brain monkeys, which were lesioned by MPTP, was the direct and indirect pathway. And that's where the information came out of various roles of the nuclei. Now, subthalamic nucleus is actually overactivated in Parkinson's disease, not underactivated. GPI is underactivated. Activity is reduced. But those concepts were based on the microelectrode recording of the monkey who has had MPTP lesions in these various structures to see what's going on with these structures. And that's what gave rise to the direct and indirect pathway. But there were many weaknesses with direct and indirect pathway. It was too rigid. It was too start and stop. While most abnormal movements don't follow this pattern. Dystonia doesn't have a start and stop. Chorea doesn't have a start and stop. Tics doesn't have a start and stop. Parkinson's is the only thing you can explain with a start and stop. And that's exactly how the model was being designed, right? The model was looked at these Parkinsonian monkeys in the brain after lesioning with them with MPTP to create an artificial Parkinson's state, which doesn't exist in monkeys. And then these pathways were looked at, and then this direct or indirect pathway was described, but was answering very specific questions in those monkeys who had Parkinson's disease. It was not answering anything else about basal ganglia's role in other diseases. Now, what we have now proposed or worked on in this new concept, a new model, which is called center surround inhibition. I think I covered a little bit of that in the lecture, but maybe not enough. So the idea of center surround inhibition is very simple. It says, and we know, that the organization in the cerebral cortex of the neurons is in a center surround way. For example, what I mean is that if you are trying to move your thumb, the muscle, the neurons that control the movements of the fingers and wrist are surrounding the neurons that control the thumb, and so on and so forth. So the arrangement in the cerebral cortex, electrophysiologically, of different areas is in a center surround way. It's actually U-shaped. So there's a U-shaped arrangement and is arranged based on the patterns of movement. So cerebral cortex, although we think of homunculus as an anatomical or geographical distribution of neurons, but actually, in each area, if you see the homunculus, it's a big, large hand with a thumb pointing out. But this area, the neurons, the individual neurons that control the individual muscle fibers or muscles, motor units in the hands, are actually arranged in U-shape. Because we know that often when the thumb is moved, we will need to use to move the wrist or move the fingers, right? So the brain has evolved to be efficient, to lump things together based on their functional use. And a correlation of use. Now, the problem is, the risk is that when you're activating the thumb, you may also activate the neurons around the thumb, which are the fingers and wrist, more than necessary. You may end up unnecessarily involving them. So the center surround inhibition model of basal ganglia states that the role of basal ganglia is to create a surrounding inhibition around the central activation. So if the thumb is being activated and there is no need for the fingers or the wrist to be activated or above a certain point, then what basal ganglia does is that as it sees the plan, as the plan comes down and goes through the basal ganglia as it being executed at the same time, then the basal ganglia gives a feedback to the brain where it sends inhibition to the surrounding activation. So it sends an activation to the thumb. So it boosts up the activation of the thumb area in the brain cerebral cortex, those thumb neurons, but it inhibits the neurons around the thumb neurons and cerebral cortex, sends an inhibitory signal in a surrounding fashion to those fingers and wrist neurons, which should not be activated, you know, are not intended, right? So that's what basal ganglia is doing. It's creating precisions of movement. It is preventing the leak or overflow of or spread of the movement from where it was intended to those surrounding regions just because of the cerebral cortex anatomy that way. And it's basal ganglia's job to make the movements more precise and not have involuntary or involuntary movement happen. Now, this model explains Parkinson's as well as other movement disorders far better than direct indirect pathway. So what this model says is that the dystonia happens when there is a fixed patterned leak in those surround inhibition into certain area. And that's why we see the phenomena like overflow, that when you're doing some other movement, the dystonic movement also gets worse, right? This overflow is explained because any increased activation from basal ganglia, which should have caused inhibition of those unintended muscles, the dystonic muscles, is not happening because there is a leak in that inhibition where the inhibition is getting an activation instead, or the inhibition is not going through. And that's what explains the dystonia. Now, tics are the same thing. They happen random firing or random leaks, but in a patterned areas in those models of basal ganglia, while the chorea is an unpatterned random leaks happening. That's why it creates a flow of movement, or what, you know, we call a flow of microdystonias. So that is a very different way of now looking at basal ganglia, right? Or globus pallidus interna. Now the role of globus pallidus is not starting and stopping movement, but modulating movement. And that's why you can stimulate the same area and get different results in different pathologies based on, you know, reducing the modulation of the basal ganglia, which is impaired. So an impaired modulation of the basal ganglia is now being blocked by the stimulation to get the same result, regardless of whether it was over modulation or under modulation in Parkinson's versus dystonia. So that's one answer for the second question. The second answer for the second question is that in basal ganglia, in GPI, and we will discuss this a lot more in the deep brain stimulation area, there is distinct function of the different parts of basal ganglia. Globus pallidus interna. So within globus pallidus interna, different areas perform different role. So a part of globus pallidus interna is considered anti-dyskinetic. So it decreases increase activity of movement. So it suppresses movement. So in one sense, it causes Parkinson's, but it suppresses dystonia and chorea and tics. And that's why GPI is used for all those. But in another part of GPI is pro-dyskinetic. It enhances the movements, meaning it causes chorea, dyskinesia, dystonia, but that means that it gets rid of bradykinesia and akinesia. So the GPI, different parts of GPI are providing different kinds of modulation to cerebral cortex. One area can provide dyskinesia and one area can inhibit dyskinesia, meaning that one area can treat dyskinesia and one area hyperkinesia and one area can treat bradykinesia or akinesia. And that's why you could use GPI stimulation to get both results, you know, for a different pathophysiology.
To learn more about the mini fellowship, visit our website for University of Nebraska Medical Center, Department of Neurological Sciences, where you can be part of the community and ask us questions. You can write to me on mdclinicforyou@gmail.com. It's mdclinic4u@gmail.com. And follow me on YouTube for longer discussions by searching for Danish Bahati, D-A-N-I-S-H space B-H-A-T-T-I. You can also find me on Twitter @DanishBahati_MD and on LinkedIn.